It's recording.
Cool.
The cheapest watch in the room says it's 9:01. I would like to welcome all of you. And I would also like to extend a special word of welcome to our presenters from AGRIMA. They were kind enough to wake me up very early this morning because they felt it necessary to have an engagement with the chair. So we had a meeting for 9:00 and they kindly wanted to give the chair a background as to what the entity does and what the issues are. So I did tell them that I greatly appreciate it. But they were not aware that one of the first portfolio committees that I was a member of when I came to Parliament in 1994 was Public Works. So I was aware of the entity and the general background of Public Works. I also told them where to start the beginning of a long process, which I think even up to today is not up to date. Compilation of the assets register. Because then you had to combine all the properties of the Bantu stands, and there were quite a number of properties that the apartheid regime had acquired abroad, and I don't think even those are fully accounted for. So there are those challenges. So, but the intention was a very noble one, to ensure that chairperson like my predecessors who did not have a similar background, it was useful to the previous two chairpersons. But I did say to the dedication of AGRIMA, it was appreciated. Members, there are a few apologies. The following honorable members have tendered apologies. Others are sick, and others have got other commitments. We have an apology from Mr. F. Adams. We have an apology of from Honorable Njobo Sithole, Firtani, and Matebe. So those are the apologies that we have, good folks. So when there are people who are sick, I'm reminded that Inez on Robben Island, every morning there was a warder who used to push a trolley and say, "I'm here for the sick, the lame, and the lazy." So you chose into which category you fell. And you distribute the tablets and what have you. Good folks, AGRIMA, we are in your able hands. If you could kindly introduce your delegation and who will take us through. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair, Honorable MPs, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. My name is Ndebo Ngcobo, and I am representing the chairperson. I'm here on behalf of the chairperson, Mr. Betty Silinga, who could not make it today. And with me is Mr. Joe Odhiambo, who is the CEO of AGRIMA, And we've got an apology from the finance manager from CSIR, Ms. Louis Opperman, and Tabelo Chikomba is here on her behalf. Just a brief background on AGRIMA. AGRIMA was founded in 1969, and it is an agency that is 45 years old. It is situated at the CSIR, and it is funded by the Department of Public Works. The agency has got 8 board members, and I am one of the board members. Our mandate is basically to offer reports and certificates of fitness for purpose of successfully assessed and certified results of non-standardized or unconventional products, construction systems, and materials for which there is no standard in South Africa. So we basically look at the applications, we assess the products to certify whether it's fit for purpose. We also formulate and update performance criteria that we use as a guide for testing the product. Our presentation layout is going to be like this. We look at the vision and mission. We look at the industry's 4 levels of legislation. We look at the impact and achievements of AGRIMA so far. The SIP is a National Development Plan 2030, the organizational structure, governance, quality management system, technical outputs, and then the financial performance of the agency.
I'm just going to ask you to unpack your acronyms. They are same acronyms used in different portfolio committees, so if you speak of your SIPs, people might understand something else, so unpack your acronyms, madam.
Okay, by SIPs, we mean strategic infrastructure project, and we'll go into detail when we get to that point. Thank you. As mentioned earlier, I said that AGRIMA offers service to consumers and user interest by providing assurance of fitness for purpose and the value for money of innovative products. So we encourage innovation. We also work with the construction industry to facilitate the introduction of cost-effective technology and non-standardized construction technology. We also provide support to policymakers at all levels, and we minimize the risk associated with the use of innovation. And all this we do to facilitate the acceptance of innovative products with the context of the government's new priorities and policies. Our vision and mission. The vision of AGRIMA is to be the world-class technical assessment agency. We assess non-standard construction products. And our mission is to promote the government's objectives of economic development, governance, and raising living standards and prosperity in South Africa. Now, some of these products that we assess take a shorter period to build compared to traditional building products, so that we speed up the construction process. This will also be achieved by encouraging and facilitating the use of innovative and non-standard construction products through its certification schemes, thereby capitalizing on the benefits that are gained. We would also like to demystify delivery, thereby improving infrastructure delivery. And just as a clarity, AGRIMA does not build houses, but we facilitate innovation. We assess the products, and we give a validity stamp to say that these products are good enough to be used in the construction industry. Some of the four commonly levels, common levels of the building industry are: you've got your national regulator for construction standards, which basically it's a standard. They look at they design the standards and they give the do's and don'ts as to in terms of the building industry. And you also have got the South African national standards. You've got the which compiles the standards for building materials. And all these entities work hand in hand to ensure that the housing industry or the building industry is the quality is achieved. The next slide talks about a typical product development cycle. If you look at the slide, you will see where Agrima fits into the whole building environment process. As mentioned earlier, we are situated in the CSIR building, and CSIR is mostly responsible for doing the research. We are partly involved in the compiling of the performance criteria. So CSIR is mostly involved in the research, and SABS will also develop the criteria for tests and methods. And then as the product moves along, you will see that it then moves on to Agrima. This is where we look at the product and we assess whether this product is fit enough to be used in the construction industry. So depending on the type of product, things that we normally test are: if it is a product that is going to be used in the building industry, we look at the water penetration test. We run those tests and see whether it is fit for that specific application. If it is a paint product, we look at things like the lifespan of the product, etc. And once the product has been in the market long enough, then the SABS will start writing the standard that is going to be the norm for that specific product. If we've got a few products that have gone through this process, products like your plastic basins, those bathtubs. The plastic bathtubs, they started from Agrima. We tested them and we realized that they were good enough for the application, and eventually the SABS had to write a standard for that product. The impacts and achievements. Agrima has met the annual targets that we have set. We set targets annually and we've tried to meet those targets and projections annually. And it aligns with the strategy to support key priority areas of government and the Department of Public Works. Unemployment is addressed, poverty and inequality, by using our products, the products that are certified by Agrima. We encourage job creation, poverty is reduced, and inequality as well. It supports and is aligned to government's growth path, which sets a goal of 6 million job opportunities by 2019. Okay, what I said was because agreement products that are supplied by Agrima or that are certified by Agrima, they facilitate job creation, because some of the products it supports local job creation, because you can have bricks that can be manufactured by local labor, and therefore by doing that you support job creation.
Thank you very much for that clarity. I must just say your previous slide that says impact and achievements. The graphic that you have used contradicts, it shows our lack of gender sensitivity. There's a rose gallery of men there. But please continue. Yeah, all of them. All of them. All of them. Yes. Thank you.
Okay, the strategic infrastructure project have got five core functions: to promote balanced economic development, to unlock economic opportunities, to promote mineral extraction and beneficiation, and to promote job creation. And these are some of the things, some of the areas that Agrima certified products can be useful. Mr. Joe Odiamo will continue from the next slide.
Honourable Chair, Honourable...
Thank you, ma'am.
Members of Parliament, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to present the second part of the Agrima South Africa presentation to this distinguished audience. As my chairperson has mentioned, I will start from slide number 8, which looks at the recommendations of the strategic SIPs and the NDP's Vision 2030. We believe these projects are integrated in that infrastructure projects need to be integrated for them to have the impact that they're supposed to have. And if you look at a number of these SIPs which are listed, which are available, there are 18 of them, and a number of them relate to infrastructure. I'll mention just one or two, I'll try and illustrate how some of these Agrima products can be used to address these particular initiatives. We believe unlocking the Northern Mineral Belt, which is the SIP1, will produce new minerals. And I believe that as our Honorable Minister for Finance mentioned yesterday, the day before yesterday, it was quoted in yesterday's paper, the beneficiation of minerals extracted. South Africa is endowed with several minerals. And we believe by beneficiating some of these minerals, we'll be able to come up with new products, new innovative products. And by industrializing these particular new products, we can move forward. And using innovative systems of construction, we can move this country to the next level of development. That's just an illustration of SIP1, how Agrima can complement the SIP. I'll also mention a second one. SIP 13, which is to build schools. We're already working in this particular area, as well as SIP 12, which is revitalize public health facilities and other facilities. We believe that our products, Agrima certificated innovative products, could have the potential, I want to repeat that statement, could have the potential to create jobs. That doesn't mean that all products have the potential, but some of them have tremendous potential. As an example that was presented by the Honorable Chair, the hyper-compressed earth bricks. We strongly believe, as we've mentioned in this particular house before, that should this be particular methodology of construction be promoted, we could have tremendous offsprings in terms of job creation, community development, addressing the issue of poverty, reducing the gap between the rich and the poor. So we believe that a comprehensive solution that looks at the new innovative products, looks at the problem in hand, and comes up with a solution that addresses all these key areas could move this country quite a way ahead. Going on further, our national development plan, the vision statement, says that we begin to tell a new story, then we have lived and renewed that story along the way. The proposals of the NDP look at the next 20 years or so to come up with a Vision 2030. And we believe that using some of these NDP plans will move the country a long way forward. And we need, as government entities, to engage with this NDP and understand how we can implement our policies to supplement the NDP objectives and address the obstacles in achieving the improved outcomes, including the need to strengthen the ability of local government to fulfill its developmental role. Planning and implementation should be informed by evidence-based monitoring and evaluation. In other words, you look at the solution that you'll come up with and ensure that it addresses the primary needs. Look, start from the end and look at the end. As project managers, we always say that when you begin a project, you start with a vision in mind and work back to the first principles and start from the basic design through to detailed design through to implementation, then monitoring and evaluation. So we believe that we are part of government structures that will lead to coming up with improved products that will move this country forward. The creation of additional jobs is mentioned, and lowering the cost of doing business. We believe that skills development, greening the economy, and empowerment, which are all related to the kind of work we do, will come up with improved products that will transform our urban and rural areas and lead to reindustrialization through manufacturing of new inputs, components, and machinery that address this particular need. In this particular point, I just want to reiterate the use of the hyper-compressed earth block. It's a simple mechanism. Compressed earth blazing has been used since time immemorial for hundreds of years. And we believe that by mainstreaming this particular methodology of construction, as was mentioned by my chairperson a few presentations back, we can bring the cost of construction considerably lower. We can empower communities to build their own houses instead of government providing them with housing. And by this way, we can address the issue of poverty reduction. And this plan will mobilize the nation behind a common vision to develop a common platform for delivery of the nation and to build partnerships between labor and business. Believe that if you involve the communities in the planning of infrastructure, they have a sense of ownership of that particular infrastructure and will not burn it or destroy it, as we've seen sadly in the last few days of communities destroying public infrastructure. So believe by getting communities involved upfront in the projects, we will get better delivery in the end, where the community has a sense of ownership and a sense of belonging to that particular infrastructure developed. Therefore, we believe that AGRMAS, though our role is not to build houses, we have a role to play in the developmental nature of our economy, to move our economy from its current state to the next level. And I want to repeat this particular statement, ladies and gentlemen, a government that works well does more than just deliver more housing or more infrastructure. It makes it possible for communities, including women, youth, to build their own houses by demystifying construction. It makes it possible for communities, including women and youth, to build their own housing by demystifying construction. So, ladies and gentlemen, my next slide will talk about our organizational structure. We, as AGRMAS South Africa, report to the board as a technical agency. The board reports to the National Department of Parliament of Public Works, as well as we do make regular presentations to this August House, the Portfolio Committee on Public Works. That means we are subservient to the National Department of Public Works, which conducts oversight on AGRMAS South Africa. I want to clarify that AGRMAS South Africa, it works closely with the National Department of Public Works. In the last three board meetings, we've had representation from the National Department of Public Works. The Director General and his delegation have been to visit AGRMAS South Africa and have interacted with the board on a number of occasions. AGRMAS South Africa does conduct quarterly meetings with the National Department of Public Works, the Director General. We report to EXCO as well. And we also have quarterly meetings with the Minister of Public Works every quarter. We do submit quarterly reports to the department. So there's sufficient oversight being conducted by the National Department of Public Works. They're aware of everything that happens on a day-to-day basis. We also sit within the MINMEC, the Ministers and MECs meetings, and we also sit in a number of strategic intervention projects within the National Department. Mention a few of them, the IDIP, Infrastructure Development Implementation Plan and Infrastructure Development Maintenance Strategy, working groups, as well as we also sit within the strategic session. So I just wanted to explain that particular session of oversight is well covered. AGRMA, as indicated in this particular slide, reports to the board. The board does oversight on us. They look at our operations and they conduct oversight on us as is required of public entity boards. We do have a technical committee that approves the certificates. In other words, To explain this, AGRIMA does the technical work, but we cannot do the technical work and approve our own work. Approval is done at another level, at a higher level. It is done at a board level, which is made up of industry experts of that particular area of expertise of the product being assessed. For example, if you're assessing a roads product, then you obviously get the experts, the roads experts, to sit in that technical committee to oversee the work that we have done, to check that the work has been comprehensive, it has been done correctly, and that the product meets a fit-for-purpose criteria. And you also, within AGRIMA, as you will see later, we are a very small agency. We don't have all the expertise in-house, but we use industry experts, one, to develop criteria, which is a test method, and two, to undertake the testing. And we use independent test labs. We don't have all the labs in-house to do the testing. So, ladies and gentlemen, this particular slide is very important to make you understand how we work. There's normally a question that is asked whether there's a mismatch between innovative products and labor-intensive construction. I want to say AGRIMA certificated products have the potential, the important word here, the active word here is potential, to have labor-intensive construction. Not all AGRIMA certificated products are labor-intensive, but they have the potential. The developmental challenge is, if we are going to move forward as a developmental nation, as was mentioned by the Honorable Minister for Finance, we need to come up with strategies that come up with beneficiation, that is, in that's adding value to minerals and basic products, and coming up with industrial development policies that exploit the triple challenges of government of unemployment, poverty, and inequality. Ladies and gentlemen, AGRIMA South Africa is a highly transformed agency, as you can see on the slide there, and we emphasize on skills development. We currently have about 50% of our staff members being extremely young, and we take them through a structured training program, and should they be the right fit, then we engage them as students. We also conduct outreach programs with universities and other institutions of higher learning by interacting with them on a regular basis to come up to advise them of the changes in industry. And therefore, we believe that we contribute to South Africa's economic transformation. And AGRIMA South Africa supports a strategy for a broad-based black economic empowerment strategy. And we believe that we have contributed towards the deracialization of the South African economy. Ladies and gentlemen, our governance structure, we do report to Parliament, as I mentioned, within the annual report, and as I mentioned previously, we do report to the Minister, as I mentioned. We believe that South Africa is a constitutional democracy with a three-tier system of government. And as was mentioned earlier by my Honorable Chair, the Constitution is an overarching authority by which all other laws within the country are subservient to. Within the national building regulations, within the building industry, the highest is the South African National Standards. The South African National Standards gets its act from the Constitution. The Act 103 of 1977 is a building industry regulation standard. It provides and promotes the uniformity of law relating to the erection of buildings in areas of jurisdiction of local authorities for the prescribing of building standards and for matters connected therewith. Therefore, that is the law, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot build anything that is outside the National Building Standards Act. That is the law, and that law is in terms of the Constitution. So that's the highest level of legislation in the land. It's mandatory. It's not obligatory for you to perform. Now, to make it easy to understand, there is the National Building Regulations, which are enforced by building inspectors under the ambit of the National Regulator for Compulsory Specification, the NRCS. The South African National Building Regulations are a set of functional guidelines for anybody building any type of structure, that they were not intended to be prescriptive in terms of what people build, but they do stipulate that if you comply with them, then you'll have deemed to satisfy the national standards. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you comply with the National Building Regulations, they're deemed to have satisfied the National Building Standards. So the Act is the standards. The regulations stipulate how you can comply with the standards. AGRIMA is a functional. That's one level below that. that offers a deemed to satisfy. An AGRAMA certificate has a deemed to satisfy status within the National Building Regulation. It's important that you understand this, that we do not regulate the standardized products. We only cover products for which are not covered by national standards, ladies and gentlemen. Only products which are not covered by national standards fall under the ambit of the AGRAMA South Africa, which we have certificated. If it is a standardized product, it's under the ambit of the South Africa National Standards Act. If not, then it's covered by the National Regulator for Compulsory Specification. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's a very important point. It's slide number 4, and I just wanted to come back to that particular point, just to clarify those particular points. So, we believe that innovative system has the potential to teach people the ways and give them the means to control, to take control over their own future accommodation by allowing them to build their own houses. This is a very important point, and I just wanted to reiterate it. And we believe that an integrated approach to governance that is aimed at ensuring the AGRAMA is financially, technically, and administratively well-governed is achieved. And we believe this will be achieved by creating AGRAMA as a state agency going forward. On our values, I believe that AGRAMA is well-governed. We have a good board. We've had several years of good financial statements without any audit findings, thanks to the CSR whom we are part of. And we believe that our values, we believe in people attaining their full potential in support of science. As I mentioned earlier, we have a lot of interns. We have a great reputation in our 45 years of existence. We believe that we've been relevant. We've stood with integrity, quality, and we've delivered quality products for industry. We've worked with ingenuity to achieve the full intellect of our people and diversity, and we also have a lot of energy going forward. As was mentioned earlier, we have 8 board members. Its current term expires this particular month, and we do have strategic planning sessions annually. We follow the King 3 policies of board governance quite clearly, quite closely. Pepe is very, very, very strong on board government issues, our board chairperson. He's got several years of experience on several boards, and so have several other members. The Honorable Chair, Acting Chair today, is currently serving a 6th year of free service to the board, and we appreciate the contribution that she has done over the 6 years. We believe that policy governance defines and guides appropriate relationship between governments, its board of directors, and its chief executive. And the principles are ownership, responsibility, and to government and parliament, and on the board's authority. And obviously, we do have written policies which we do follow and move towards. And we believe that governance provides clear differentiation between management responsibility and the organizational operation. Ladies and gentlemen, on the next slide, we do have the 8 board members. As you can see, there's a quite wide range of representation. We do have the chairperson, who is currently the CEO of the Eastern Cape Development Corporation. Ntebo is a lecturer in civil engineering, which is very relevant. She often serves as the chair of the technical committee on a number of occasions, given her technical background. Because to chair that technical committee, ladies and gentlemen, you need to be able to understand the technical issues which are being discussed. And in a number of instances, despite my years of experience, I'm totally lost at what is being discussed. It's very, very high level of science and technology. So her expertise, her technical expertise, comes in handy. We also have Dr. Jeff Mahachi, who is an advisor to the NHBRC. He also serves in the technical subcommittee. He has a doctorate in civil engineering. He's written 2 technical books on structure engineering, which are used at master's level in university within the Southern Africa region. So he's an extremely brilliant scholar in terms of his technical knowledge. So we need such people on the board. We also have the Bureau of Standards, ladies and gentlemen. So we work collaboratively with the Bureau of Standards, not against them. Mariana used to be with the NRCS. She's now an environmental liability consultant. Don't ask me what that means, but it must mean something complicated. But it just shows you the level and caliber of kind of people we do have on our board. Dr. Hans Sittman is a logistic consultant. He's the ex-director of the CSR Built Environment. We have Adelaide Renape, who is a senior legal manager with Barlow World Africa. Barlow World, you might see that world? Big terms. And Denzel is a consultant in OHS. So ladies and gentlemen, we do have a very distinguished board. I must say I'm very proud of the work they've done. They've worked with extreme distinction over the last few years. And last week when we did have our last meeting with them and was presented, when the department was there, they gave them 100% out of 100%. Well done to them.
And OHS?
Oh, sorry, Organizational Health and Safety. Sorry, Organizational Health and? Occupational Health and Safety. Sorry about that, Chair. I apologize for that. On the quality management system, quality management system is a collection of business processes focused on achieving the quality policy and quality objectives. That is what your customer wants and needs. It is expressed as organizational structure, policies, procedures, processes, and resources needed to implement quality management. Ladies and gentlemen, Agrima South Africa prides itself in maintaining a quality QMS 9001 level of certification. 9001 is a family of standards that is probably the most widely implemented worldwide. In South Africa, SANS 9001 is a subset of ISO 9001, which is an audit regime that applies both and deals with the quality, sustainability, and integration. We as Agrima look at quality holistically, and we believe that systems ensure predictability of the result. Since we deal with innovative systems, ladies and gentlemen, it's vital that we do have quality management systems in place to ensure that those products are erected in accordance with the prescribed standards as was approved when we did the testing in the lab. Without that, ladies and gentlemen, then our whole system falls flat on the ground. We do monitor quality on a regular basis. We rely on industry to inform us when there are issues or transgressions. We don't have sufficient staff to go around the country. We work closely with the Bureau of Standards, the local authorities who are entrusted with approving construction within the areas of jurisdiction within every municipality. Within every municipality, before you construct a building, ladies and gentlemen, you have to submit plans if you're an individual. Government may be exempt if the minister signs for it and takes responsibility, then they may be exempt from the prescripts of the National Building Regulations in terms of complying with the Local Authority Act. And otherwise, then you need to submit plans and you need to ensure that the building is erected in accordance with approved standards. So whenever local authorities are faced with innovative standards, they pick up the phone and they call Agrima, and that is where we provide support to local authorities in the promotion of innovative technologies within the country. So in terms of quality management, we also conduct validity reviews. One may ask, what is a validity review? The aim is, obviously, as I mentioned earlier, is to reduce the risk to the consumer. It provides credibility and quality assurance that the product is still being manufactured as it was when the assessment was carried out in the lab, as I said earlier. And all these systems must be documented in a quality management plan. The validity review takes form in two particular methods. First is an annual review. An annual review is an audit which we carry out to each and every certificated product where we go to the product, we visit the product, we check whether the product is being manufactured as is documented in the quality management system manual, one, and two, as per the test that we carry out in the lab. So ladies and gentlemen, it makes sure that not that we give a certificate and walk away that this particular innovative product can be used carte blanche. We conduct periodic annual reviews. We also have a three-yearly review, which is a comprehensive review, which is carried out every third year. Now, this is more detailed, where it looks in detail at the whole value chain and looks it's a much more thorough audit than the annual inspection. And action plans are taken to address and come up with solutions should there be any challenges. This is a standard quality monitoring methodology as prescribed by the South African National Bureau of Standards. Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, honorable chair, South Africa does have a quality management implementation strategy, which ensures that an organization, product, or service is managed consistently in accordance with the quality management standards, with the quality management system. Quality assurance is a way of preventing mistakes or defects in the manufactured products and building systems. And to do this, we look at the items listed there, which look at things like design control, purchasing control, process control, inspection testing, because if you don't have an internal inspection testing and measuring equipment, you don't know what you're producing. Ladies and gentlemen, we check that internally they have internal systems to ensure that the product is manufactured consistently in accordance with the quality assurance method, which is a way of preventing mistakes or defects in manufactured products or building systems. The quality management system is a collection of business processes focused on resources needed to implement quality management, as I mentioned earlier. So we check all these issues on a regular basis as part of a quality management plan. Honorable Chair, ladies and gentlemen, I now come to the real purpose of our work, which is our technical outputs. Our technical outputs are listed there, and what I've done to make it relevant, ladies and gentlemen, is I've listed the five-year track record to see that our targets and our outputs are not out of line with historical perspective. And I'm happy to say that we have achieved or exceeded historical performance requirements. We do have regular board meetings. We have a number of roads products, and I'll show you a few examples later on. We have a few building system and building products. I'll give you examples of these, so ladies and gentlemen, just bear with me. Just be patient, as I would be able to explain this particular slide in more detail later on. Now, I'd like to apologize for the very small font in this particular slide. I hope that we'll be able to read them. But I'll just list the strategic intent or the strategic outputs as listed in our strategic plan, and given the performance over the last 3 years with a target for this first year's performance, 2014-2015. Ladies and gentlemen, you see that the performance has been, as was mentioned by the chairperson, we've achieved targets in virtually all of them. This particular one, certificates issued within the contract period, percentage of issued in the middle of the technical outputs. There are no figures there. That's an error. I apologize for that. But otherwise, I'll just summarize and say that Agrima has achieved its strategic outputs overwhelmingly. We have exceeded our performance. And as I mentioned in the previous slide, our targets are not out of line with historical perspective. I'll then move on to the next slide, which just illustrates the performance in graphical nature. And this also just to show that our actual performance exceeds the average performance over the last couple of years. I'll then move on to the World Federation of Technical Assessment Organizations. What is the World Federation of Technical Assessment Organizations? This particular slide, ladies and gentlemen, illustrates the members of the WAFTAO, the World Federation of Technical Assessment Organizations. And ladies and gentlemen, you'll see that yours truly, Agrima South Africa, is the only member from Africa. You have a high concentration of members from European countries, as well as a number of members from Far East. Russia joined us recently. You've got Japan, we've got Australia, we've got New Zealand, you've got Brazil, as well as North America and Canada. These are the members of our World Federation of Technical Assessment Organizations. And what one would wonder, what is WAFTA? What is the purpose of having a World Federation of Technical Assessment Organizations? Well, it's a worldwide organization network for coordinating and facilitating the technical assessments of innovation in the construction field. Ladies and gentlemen, you must appreciate that we deal with a very complex system, a very complex item here. Assessing products which you do not know, there's nothing more difficult than doing that. You have no clue what it is, but you have to assess its performance. Therefore, we have to have a national network, a global network, where we share resources, exchange ideas. And the aim of WAFTAO is to promote its mission to provide more detailed information on the competence and services of its members. and we work on mutual trust and recognition, which is highly valued. This is important because you must trust the assessment carried out by a brother and sister, by a sister organization. And we promote the organization towards new members joining and creation of task teams that look at common issues of common interest. For example, we recently established a global network to come up with a common format for environmental product declaration in the framework of the World Federation of Technical Assessment Organizations. So this standardized product declaration will make it a standardized method of measurements across WAFTAO members. One important point, ladies and gentlemen, is that World Federation of Technical Assessment Organization members comprise of officially recognized national bodies active in the field of technical assessment of construction products and systems. So that point there, nationally recognized, is very important, ladies and gentlemen. What services does WAFTAO offer? We offer broad acceptance within the regulatory communities. As I mentioned earlier, ladies and gentlemen, the local authorities make use of our certification to come up, to assist them to make decisions or to come up with judgments when they're faced with innovative construction products within their areas of jurisdiction. Therefore, if a rural municipality, say, deep down in the middle of whichever province, is faced with a new product, new method of building using a product like this I'm holding in my hand, ladies and gentlemen, if they do not know it, it's not covered in the national standards, they can pick up the phone and phone Joe Odhiambo at Agrima South Africa, and I will be able to assist them. That is the value of WAFTAO and Agrima South Africa. We provide broad acceptance within the regulatory community. We provide global acceptance, acceptable turnaround times across member organizations. We provide competitive pricing across member organizations, worldwide recognition and acceptance. I just want to reiterate or just elaborate on this particular point. The turnaround time for assessing innovative products can be long. If you're doing a durability test and you want to test the product over its lifespan of maybe 50 years, if you do a simulated assessment, it will take you 3 months, and there's no way of shortening that period. Therefore, you need to take that long. You cannot shortcut the product. We test products on their performance. We do not assume their performance. So we actually test it. If you're going to test whether a product breaks when it falls, we actually lift it and we drop it and we see whether it breaks. And we have to, if you have to do it 1,000 times, ladies and gentlemen, we will do that. We will lift it and drop it 1,000 times to assess its performance. We assess the performance in use and certificate the fitness for purpose of innovative construction products. We believe WAFTAO provides significant savings when compared to various other services, and we believe Agrima South Africa approval is recognition listed within the South African National Standards and within WAFTAO. So it provides global acceptance of products assessed by Agrima South Africa. As I mentioned, it provides building control enforcement officials with the use of technical assessment reports to support their regulatory duties. Manufacturers use them as evidence to show the building control officials that the products actually meet minimum performance required. So if a manufacturer has manufactured something new, he can say, no, I have Agrima certificate, therefore this product meets the national building regulation, therefore you should allow it to be used in your area of jurisdiction. So you understand how these particular products come into the use. And therefore these particular products enhance, meet the requirements of the national building regulation and the building standards, as I showed in slide number 4. Architects, designers, contractors, and specifiers use them to choose products that are recognized by Agri South Africa as compliant with the national building regulations, hence the national building standards requirements. Very important point. The general public also use them to help when selecting building products for homes and other properties. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you go to a hardware store next time, When you look at products on the shelves, ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to look for Agrima South Africa certificated products or SABS approved products. Do not buy no-name brand products because there's no warranty and they've not been tested and may not be fit for purpose within the use of this particular economy. We've all been cheated. We've all bought door locks in the past. You've got the Hong Kong one and the genuine one, the SABS approved one. The SABS one may be 100 rand, this one may be 10 rand, and they tell you, buy 10. Yes, you'll use the 10 before you even use the first one the first time, because the 10 will break after the second or third time. The SABS and Agrima approved products have been tested scientifically and proven to meet the requirements of the National Building Regulations. So, ladies and gentlemen, use your head when you go to the shops next time and buy Agrima approved products because they've been tested to meet fit for purpose certification. Ladies and gentlemen, I will now go on to list the technical outputs which are listed, and I'll spend a bit of time to explain some of them and illustrate how this particular product meets some of the developmental goals of the National Building Regulations and the SIPs, as was mentioned earlier by my Honourable Chair, in meeting our developmental nature and also answering, as I quoted, the Honourable Minister of Finance, of beneficiating and industrialization of our economy as being the only way to move this country from its sluggish growth to a level where it can claim its rightful place as a leading economy within the world, not only Africa. Ladies and gentlemen, the Weber Brush Coat System is a cement-based colored waterproofing product for interior and wash and external wall coating that is applied by block brush. It provides a durable waterproof. I mentioned waterproof. It means water cannot penetrate it. And this is something new. It's innovative. You use it once, it provides a waterproof product. It's produced by Weber Tylon. It's a product which I'm sure all of you who have been to hardware stores must have come across it. And it's produced from carefully selected raw materials for consistency of product and only requires the addition of water on site. The benefits, I'll mention just a few of them, ladies and gentlemen. Waterproof, integrally colored for low maintenance. In other words, the color is integrated in the paint. It's there. It's pigmented. It's a single coat application. It's available in a range of colors. It's quality assured raw materials. It's exceptional consistently and quality backed by superior technical support by Weber, as I mentioned earlier. Ladies and gentlemen, the next example I do have there is Excellis Developmental Building System, Development Building System. This is a sandwich-based panel system in which fiber cement boards. Fiber cement is a material that you have in the bathroom next door. If you go and knock it, to give you that kind of sound. So it's being used even in Parliament, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying this particular product, but I'm just explaining what fiber cement is. It's being used in Parliament. If Parliament can use it, everybody else can use it. And it's based, it encapsulates polyurethane. If you do come during your oversight visits to visitors in Gauteng, we do have an exhibition site in Pretoria at the Eric Molobi Innovation Hub. Constructed about 10 years ago, it has several building innovative building systems which were built under the auspices of the NHBRC together with Agrima. And you will be able to see these particular systems which have been used. They've been built out there and they've been left as an experimental site to see how these particular innovative systems perform. So ladies and gentlemen, this system actually exists. It's reality. It's not make-believe. It's not Hollywood. It's reality. It exists out there. We also do have an innovation hub here in the Western Cape, in Paarl, in Bekweni, which is just up the road, about an hour's drive from here. This particular innovation hub, it was built under the auspices of Absa Bank, provided the finance, the NHFC, the Housing Finance Corporation, or something like that, the NHBRC, the National Home Builders Registration Corporation, Council, well, Agrima South Africa, and several other role players, as well as the local municipality. This particular innovation hub in Bekweni, ladies and gentlemen, we had a project whereby they were building innovative housing systems together with conventional housing systems. The idea is, ladies and gentlemen, that the individuals, the community, The community would then come and select which system they wanted. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to announce that Agrima certificated products were overwhelmingly the preferred method of construction. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, this proves that these products can be used. The Excellis building system is highly energy efficient. It provides strong resistance to earthquake. It can withstand earthquake up to 8.1. We are not allergic to earthquakes. Those of us in the Highveld were exposed to I can't remember the exact figure, 6.2 over 6 Richter, on the Richter scale earthquake recently. These particular products are mold and mildew resistant. In other words, they can withstand condensation. They're waterproof. They have superior thermal resistance value. They're low maintenance. And I would like to say that banks like Absa Bank have moved and they now fund, provide homeowner insurance and homeowner loan funding for innovative construction systems. And lastly, but most importantly, this particular innovative system, ladies and gentlemen, provides excellent indoor air quality. And the panels are light. They can be built using labor, including women and the disabled, who can be, unlike conventional materials which require very heavy physical strength and stability. These particular systems are light and can be built quite easily, ladies and gentlemen. I've got RPM, which is a sandwich-based fiber cement system, as well as at the bottom there we have a rhino lining waterproofing system, which is basically a waterproofing system which can be used to waterproof roofs, swimming pools, foundations, basements, and the like. So it totally eliminates weaknesses associated with other jointed membrane facilities, because this rhino lining waterproofing membrane is kind of pumped. It's a liquidized form. Once it goes onto the surface, it actually forms a totally waterproof. Integral. It's one. It's not jointed. Most other waterproofing membranes are jointed, and they fail at the joints. This is innovative. It's new. It's been used overseas extensively, and it provides a seamless waterproof membrane which totally eliminates potential weaknesses associated with other jointed membranes. Therefore, it's proven benefits which are tested in the lab scientifically. It provides 100% waterproof coating. It's a robust coating because it provides a thick coating. It's flexible. In other words, it can give and take. It's resistant to most chemicals, solvents, acids, alkalis, and it's got a good resistance to thermal shock. You can hit it. It's seamless, low permeability, and great sustainability. So, ladies and gentlemen, these are some of the modern products, some innovative products that we've certificated. The next one is COFOR, Structural Formwork Building System. This must be the strongest building I've ever come across in my life. It's made out of permanent shuttering. It's monolithic. In other words, it's a prefabricated system that has a lot of advantages. It's got the permanent reinforcement shuttering, which is permanent formwork, which is like the formwork on the outside, shattering. And inside, you pump concrete. Therefore, instead of building a building using blocks, one after the other, you put the permanent formwork and you pump the concrete in. And therefore, within no time, you can have a multi-story building, because this formwork can be moved up. And with other Agrima-approved innovative systems like rapid handling concrete, you can build a high-rise building overnight. I'm sure some of you have seen buildings coming up. You pass there 1 month, and the next week you pass, and the whole structure is up. That's an Agrima certificated innovative product, which is the future of construction. The next product, ladies and gentlemen, is a specialized insulated building system, which is an EPS, expanded polystyrene, with a firestop board on the inside and outside, encapsulated by Chromadec. Chromadec is the same material that makes vehicles. If it's good enough for a vehicle, it's good enough for a house. Somebody's phone is on. Anybody? Okay, then the next one is fiber joints Bridge deck.
Calling to find out how they can get this material.
Thanks, Chair. The Faber joint, bridge deck expansion joint system, is a asphaltic joint, asphalt plug joint, which provides flexible waterproof joints. It's used to, it's a bridge deck joint. It joins a bridge to the land. So that joint must be pretty robust, because imagine there's heavy trucks going through it all the time. And this is an innovative way, approved by SANRAL. We work closely with the National Bureau, with our SANRAL, South African National Roads Agency. We work with them in a lot of areas. I'm proud to announce that a lot of the highways which are built during the 2010, the Gauteng Improvement Project, were built using AGMA certificated products. We developed new design methods and implemented them in the highways. So if they've worked in the highways in Gauteng over the last 4 years, then they're good enough to be used elsewhere in the country. Ladies and gentlemen, on the next slide, I have another bridge deck joint, which is a single cell joint, surface-mounted elastomatic seal, which has rapid curing. Aqua friction road surfacing system, as I mentioned, work closely with SANRAL. SANRAL has used this particular road surfacing system across a lot of its highways in the country. Honorable Minister, in your previous portfolio, as Minister in the transport domain, you must have been familiar with the thin surfacing system used by SANRAL. This is traditionally different from the very thick, 300, 400 millimeters thick pavements which were traditionally used using the old South African national standard. So SANRAL was brave enough to test this new thinner friction courses, 16 to 20 millimeters, almost that much of a friction paving that is used on the surfacing. And they work well. They are made, we've tested them in the lab, we've tested them in the field where we've done trial section, we've tested them, and they've passed with excellent performance. We therefore roll them out on our national highways, and these systems are working very well. They're suitable to be used as wearing course for heavily trafficked highways and major highways. As I mentioned, they've been rolled out in the major highways. Therefore, AGMA South Africa is making a great contribution to the economy of this country, because our systems save those 400 millimeters to allow them to come up with pavements which are only 20 millimeters. What a major saving is that, ladies and gentlemen. On the next, Starfont Designer cost-cutting computer software. This particular software assists manufacturers of aluminium windows, doors, shop fronts to design, cost, and manufacture products based on Wispeco aluminium extrusion system. So it's an innovative software that assists designers. The next one is a single-story structure utilizing factory-produced cast-in-situ cellular lightweight concrete wall panels and forming agencies is Neopor. The wall panel incorporates service connections, doors, and windows. This means that you take construction away from the field to a factory environment where you have better controls over quality. Remember, I covered quality earlier. You have better control over materials coming in, and you have better control over outputs going out. So you improve construction quality and outputs. The next one is IES, environmental software. This is a specially designed architectural analysis package. There's an architectural package which provides most comprehensive suite available to investigate bioclimatic strategies even before the design of the building has been completed, and connects with the design packages. Ladies and gentlemen, you are able to analyze the performance of the building, the environmental performance of the building, before you even start designing. Therefore, it enables you to make informed decisions about the design of the building. Remember in construction, I said, in project management, you begin with the end in mind and work backwards to first principles. This is an example of that. And this innovative, award-winning, in-depth suite of integrated analysis tools is used by leading sustainable design experts around the world. We've tested it It's been tested outside in the world, but in South Africa we had to test it for our local conditions, ladies and gentlemen. And we choose from a comprehensive variety of models dependent on the analysis needs and mix-match to create a perfect solution that will meet your design requirements. On the next slide, ladies and gentlemen, we also have another road surfacing system, which is a non-tack coat, tack coat system, which is, one may ask, what's a tack coat? A tack coat is an adhesive term used to relate a sort of stickiness, tack. You stick on it. A tack bond is a surface bond created by a highly mobile or highly polar material. This is not meant, what is meant by tack coat in astral technology. So this provides, you spray this application, and then it provides you an ability to provide the finishing coat on it. So this is also an innovative product approved by Sanral and encouraged by Sanral to be used in all areas. So ladies and gentlemen, if your local authority in your area of jurisdiction is not using Agrima certificated products, ask them to visit Agrima or to visit Sanral to learn about these important ways of saving costs. Because ladies and gentlemen, your local authority may be able to save a lot of money using these innovative products and systems. That's the value of Agrima to you. The next system there is a modified calcium carbonate coating system, which is a single coat polymer-based textured colored wall coating, provides all sound preferably on prepared surfaces. Then we also have a friction pave, quite similar to the other, to the previous one. This one is slightly thicker than the other one. It's between 16 and 25. 25 millimeters, ladies and gentlemen, is only 1 inch for those of us who trained in imperial systems. It is placed on a tack coat, as I mentioned earlier, using a self-priming paver. The last example I do have here on this particular slide is Neopor building system, which is for single or double-story structures. This provides wall constructed of cellular lightweight concrete. Cellular lightweight concrete is simply what it means. It's lightweight concrete. It's concrete with aerated aggregates, which makes it lighter than conventional concrete. These lightweight concretes have added advantages in that they have superior thermal performance and therefore enhanced environmental performance and improves the indoor air quality and indoor thermal comfort. And this lightweight concrete consists of sand, cement, water, and Neopor as a forming agent. Neopor is this particular product I explained before. It's a polymer kind of product which can be used as a forming agent with this particular product. And as you can see on the picture there, this particular system has this Neopor panels as permanent shuttering as well. And then once this permanent shuttering, once you put the Neopor, this lightweight concrete in the middle, you come and plaster it on the outside with only 15 millimeter cement sand plastering. So ladies and gentlemen, these are just some of the products which Agrima South Africa has certificated. And I'd like to report to you that the private sector in the country has predominantly moved across and embraced innovative technology. Most of the new shopping malls, most of the new hotels, motels coming up are all innovative construction technologies. The new McDonald's outside the parliamentary village in Voortrekker Road in Cape Town is built out of innovative construction technologies. Take a walk one day and do this on the body and you'll see it is innovative. If it's good enough for McDonald's, then it's good enough for everybody else in the country. And I'm not promoting McDonald's or any other product. I
hope not the burgers and the chips. Because I'm told, my one son told me, 11-year-old fellow, that McDonald's chips and burgers were put aside and 1 month later they were still the same. So they decided they are never eating these things again. But proceed, as long as we can tap a wall.
Thank you, Chair. And these examples are just to illustrate that these products have penetrated the private sector virtually extensively. For those of you who've been to Pretoria, the new buildings opposite Menlyn, there are three big structures there. All of them are innovative construction technologies. the biggest structures being constructed in Pretoria at the moment, and they've all moved to alternative technologies. Therefore, if it's good enough for the top end of the market, it's good enough for everybody else. A couple of other examples, ladies and gentlemen, I'll not go through them, but you can, if you need any further details, I will readily provide them. With that, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, I'll hand over to my colleague to cover the financial aspects, Mr. Tapelo.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Honorable, all members of the Parliament and our distinguished guests. On the finance side, I will start with a slide that, to brief in connection with the targets with medium-term expenditure frame estimates. This is for four-year period from 2014 to 2015 up to 2017-2018 financial year. This is just an estimate based on the current financial and estimate external income is 9.6 million for 2014-2015, 2015-2016 10 million, 2016-2017 10.9 million and 2017-2018 11.5. I won't go through all the estimate on the expenses that will be covered, but the net margin for all the years, I will go through it. It's 2015, then the estimate net margin surplus is 271,000, and 2015-2016 is 287, and 2016-2017 is 304,000, and 323 on 2017-18. The next slide is talking about the referring to all five years historical financial year, including the current performance for 2013-2014 financial year. All these 4 years have been audited within the CSIR, except 2013-2014, which now it has been audited, but on this slides, the figures are not yet audited, but we have the audited figures. The total income for 2013-14 is 10 million, which includes the local income and all the international income that the Agrima got, the work that they have done, and including the grant that they have received from the Parliament. The total expenses is 10.3 million, which includes all the running costs, admin costs, salaries. This salary doesn't include bonuses for this financial year because it's part on the one that is audited. And overhead costs, depreciation is 278,000. Share service costs, let me just elaborate on share service costs. This is the support that Agrima is paying to CSIR. It's the HR, the support from the HR, the finance, and the management services that they got from the CSIR. It's 1.6 million. Executive levy is also the support from the audit, the legal department, the accounts payable, the accounts receivable, assets department, procurement, and also treasury and payroll. It's 635,000. The margin before the interest is 582. The interest that is on the slide, it's 116,000, but this one is before the audited final statement. And the surplus for this financial year, 2013-2014, is 698, which is not the final figure because we have the figure which is lesser than this because it have to deduct the bonuses for this financial year. financial comments on the top heading. It's saying financial statement. It's supposed to be financial comments. Agrima South Africa has been operating for 45 years under ministerial delegation of authority from Minister of Public Works. The annual grant funding is channeled from Department of Public Works to CSIR as a legal entity. The funds are refinanced and only used for Agrima South Africa. Let me elaborate on that. All the funds that for Agrima are used for Agrima purpose only. Because for regulatory reason and also for reporting purposes, because Agrima it works as a public entity on its own, but it's just under CSIR, and all transactions for Agrima are subjected to police and procedure and government process as per treasury regulations, and all financials for Agrima are audited as required by treasury regulations. CSIR has received an unqualified audit report for the last few years and has been hailed as an example of good financial management. This is including Agrima because CSIR audited financial including Agrima as part of it. On the final audit figures, I think it's included on the annual report. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. I'm just intrigued as in various contexts, various organizations, the financial report is always last. It's like everyone always sitting at the back of a lecture class or in a classroom. It's one of those things. Thank you very much. If you are done with your presentation, I would like to thank all three of you for the exhaustive, detailed presentation that you have given us, delivered very passionately, and the equal distribution of labor, and led by a female, us coming out of August month. Thank you very much. Honorable members, your opportunity for comments, questions, areas of clarity. Let us start with the Honorable Mrs. Adams.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you to the presenters. My first question is on slide 35. You said Agrima South Africa has been in operation since the last 45 years. Our democracy is 20 years old. Has there been a transformation since 1994? Or is it business as usual? Then I'll go as the slide goes on slide 34. The human resource, there is a decrease 2009-10, 2010-11, a decrease in the amount that is listed there. What caused the decrease? And the shared service costs, just a little bit down on the overhead cost. 2010-11, 2011-12, the costs almost doubled. So, what led to that doubling in cost there? Then, on slide 33, you mention external income, other income. Can you explain what other income entails? Then, on the human resources, you name casual employers. Who are they? And how long will they be casual? And the car allowances, who are paid car allowances? And other costs, depreciation, you mentioned the indirect cost recovery unit. And it's strange that the amounts are the same. Does this mean that indirect cost recovery and the unit are the same? Then my next question, Chair, is on the establishment of the board.
You don't have to be sorry. You can call me Comrade Chairperson.
Yeah, Comrade Chair. Yeah. The current term expires in September 2014. We are in September 2014. How does this entity goes about to establish a new board? Do they advertise? What are they doing? And there's a picture of the current members of the board. Out of the eight, there are three women. I would like them to look at the establishment of more women. I know it's a highly, highly technical field. But if you search, and the other question is, can board members be reinstated for a following term? Is there a curfew says how much terms they can serve? Then the last one is on page 10. In the yellow, a government that works well does much more than deliver more houses. It makes it possible for communities, including women and youth, to build and own their own houses by demystifying construction. What is the role of Agrima South Africa to demystify construction? What is their role? I know they are in innovation. I know they have a ring-fenced budget. But how do they reach communities? They have showed us very innovative ways that they have developed. But how do they reach communities? Then the very last one. Agrima South Africa belongs to a world organization. Is there a measure that the world organization assesses its 21 members that they are on the same level, or is there building capacity or capacity building within the world organization? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Adams, thank you very much. Many questions and comments, but then it comes on the back of an exhaustive input by the presenter, so you'll expect members to raise a number of things from various aspects. Honorable Mubu, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. It was long and I think rather technical. Some of us were not technically minded, but I did get quite a lot of sense out of it. You know, the first time when I came across the name Agrima, I thought it was an agriculture organization. I had no clue where did this name come from anyway. But that's just by the way. You mentioned the relationships that you have with the different organizations that regulate building and innovation of materials and so on and so forth. What relationship do you have with provincial public works departments? I'm asking this question because in a number of provinces, obviously, there must be some companies that innovate, come up with new ideas, in building materials and so on and so forth. How do you relate to those provincial public works departments? Or how do you relate, in fact, I think, let me put it this way, how do you relate to private individuals who come up with new ideas? Secondly, do you have a fund or assistance to individuals that would like to, who have found new ideas of how to develop certain products that will help them to maybe to grow that product, to do more research, maybe to improve on its use? And small businesses are said to be the engine of any economy. Do you have any program where you work with small business and provide them with maybe technical skills to improve on their new ideas? The board, you said the term expires at the end of this month. When is the new board going to be elected and when is it going to be appointed? You said people take responsibility for their own accommodation. But I think there's an accepted view that, you know, building materials in this country are quite expensive. I'd like to know if you have come up with a cheap, easy-to-use material that people in the squatters, in this informal settlement, can easily purchase. And I mean, we've got a serious building accommodation problem in this country. If there was a product easy to use, cheap, available, and accessible to the poor, I would say that Agrima is doing a very, very good job. But what I see are materials that are difficult to purchase by poor people. I do small buildings at my house. There are small little things that I need to do. But every time I walk into a builder's warehouse or place like that, materials are expensive. So I would expect that an organization like yours would help the poor access cheap, available materials that can use to build their own homes. Finally, Chairperson, you showed us a map of the organization that deals with the standards and so on and so forth, but there's only one from Africa, and it's in South Africa. What sort of collaboration do you have with SADC countries? Because I think the idea of SADC is to standardize a number of things, a lot of things. Do you have any standardized form of working with the SADC countries in terms of building materials? Because there's a lot of traffic of, materials across the sub-region. So I'd like to know if there is any collaboration between your organization and other SADC countries. Chairperson, thank you so much.
Thanks, Chair. Also, thanks to the presenters. But, Chair, I see someone doesn't want to present the last page so that we can get clarity on the last page.
Which is the last page? Let us get to the last page.
No, maybe they will present it thereafter. My question is all about the targets. I just want to check with the targets. I see most of your targets are similar. You got 54, 54, 54, 50. Just want to get clarity. Why do you choose 54, 54 in most cases? And the other one, you say complain. I mean, attend to complaints within 5 days. But you say 67. As much as I don't like percentage, but I don't understand why do you target complaints. How do you know complaints will be 67 and not? I just don't get clarity there. I mean, once they are 67, then you are hip or what? I would rather go for a percentage to say I've attended to so much percentage complaints rather than 67. If you can maybe clarify that one. Chair, I also have a similar question to Mr. Move, but let's start it by on slide number 8. You say your scope includes building regulations. codes and certification. Just on building regulation, because every time something talk about the regulation, we just think of NHBRC. I've never heard of Agrimo doing regulations on building, unless maybe it's something new. But the other thing is, all this innovation that you're talking about, have you given this to the Department of Human Settlement to buy in? Because till now we don't see some of these houses that are so simpler to build being built across South Africa. I mean, it can actually save South Africa a lot of money, and we can even try to achieve the targets that are always growing up. I just want to know your actually, how do you work with the Department of Public, I mean, of Human Settlement on that one? But Chair, the other one is also the same. This product, the cost of this product, let's say McDonald's build one, are they cost effective, or are they, people can afford it, and are they available in all this building material stores that people can just get it as simple as ABC? But here, my last question is actually on slide number 10. We all know that actually job is the most important thing in South Africa, and everybody is looking for a job. And you know, sometimes some of these things, not only we as members read all these things, we give these things to other people to read. And you know, sometimes it makes an alarming if Agrimo says create 11 million more jobs by 2010. But to us, explanation is far better, because we are sitting with you here to say, no, it's not that we create jobs. But if you say to people and you put these things straight in writing, create 11 million jobs, I'll think that Agrimo is going to create 11 million jobs. And on the other side, it's not like that. So such things actually sometimes are also not really clear to everybody who is not sitting here and listen to you guys what you're saying. So sometimes we have to be careful on this thing to say to people. But Chair, I just want an example, because we heard that some of the certified product of Agrimo are actually creating jobs. If they can give us two or three of such products that they say these products have created job to so many, so that we can really know which products are that are creating. Because to me, this innovative, you know, we all know this technology is taking away jobs from the people. Now, if it's creating jobs, then we have to understand it again, because most of the time we complain about this technology that is taking away jobs. But on the other side, they're saying it creates jobs. So something is contradicting there, which I'm not sure. But let's get the examples of those that are actually creating jobs. Thank you, Chair.
Siyabonga, Baba Masango. Mhlonishwa. Mama Sonti.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you even to the presenters of today in the house. I'll try to use the common language. I want to teach myself. I've got a question. My question is one. It's on the houses. They say they're gonna try to give the communities to make, to build their own houses. So I just want to know, how do they make their houses? Because my understanding, before even presently now, it is the RDP houses done by the government. So I just need the clarity on that. And then how do you monitor that they are doing the proper housing, and those houses are on quality? I'm not saying that those of RDP are strong, but I just want to know, when are they doing themselves on their own? I just want to know the. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Perhaps we should stop at this stage to give the presenters an opportunity for a rejoinder to answer some of the questions posed, respond to the comments made, and then we'll take another round of questions if members have got questions to pose. Or perhaps after the answers have been given, my boss on my left says there should be a tea break. She says I'm a hard taskmaster. There must be a tea break. So let's take your responses, good folks, and thereafter we'll break for tea break. Let's hope there will be hot water and tea if we go for tea. Since breakfast? Oh, they changed it, okay. Please, good folks.
Thank you for your questions. One of the questions was the issue of other income or external income as it is reflected on the financial statements. When certificate holders or applicants apply for a certificate, or when they bring their products to AGRIMA for testing, they pay a certain fee, and that fee is covered as an external income in the financial statement. The issue of the expiration of the current board and what is going to happen or when is the next board coming into effect. That process is currently undergoing, and last week we met with the Department of Public Works and they assured us that they have conducted interviews with the relevant applicants, and they are in the process of nominating the new board. And until such nomination has taken place, we will be serving. But then they assured us that they will come back to us as soon as they can. So there is not going to be a situation where the agency does not have a board. I think Joe and Tabelo will address the other issues. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the questions. I will answer on the increase on shared services for 2012. On this one, the issue is the calculation that is done normally on calculating the shared services done based on the income and the support that they give for per financial year. I'm not exactly sure what was the cost on this one, but I will check up on it, what was the cost that make it increase to double. But normally it's based on the support that we give the finance and the HR, and based on the income and the HR guys resources that we are supporting. And the other one is on the indirect, on the targets, indirect cost recovery and indirect cost recovery per unit. These ones are shared services and executive levies. I think there is a slight mistake on the other one because it's normally not the same. It's not close to each other because the other one is on a higher level because it's executive levy. We will check on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, thanks for the questions. I'll start with a question from Honourable Adams regarding transformation of the agency. As I mentioned in my presentation, the agency is highly transformed. Despite us having been in existence for 45 years, in my slide, I quite clearly indicated and I gave the demographics of the agency. So we believe we are highly transformed. We've also transformed the board, which is highly transformed, as well as the technical committee, which is also, we've worked very hard at transforming that.
The finances have been dealt with by my financial colleague. There are a few other issues which I'll just cover. The car allowances are in accordance with Treasury guidelines, and are paid in accordance with Treasury guidelines. Therefore, for example, if you use your vehicle for official business and you claim a mileage which is in line with the guidelines issued by Treasury for all public entities. Insurance covers issues related, I think insurance would obviously cover issues related to insurance of individuals, and but I don't see it in the figures here. But UIF, that's part of HR. It's part of the normal human resource costs that is paid to individuals. Casual employees, as I showed in my slide, Agrima as an agency, you have 15 technical staff members. We deal with highly complex and difficult products to assess. You don't have all the experts in-house, and it would be enormously expensive to hire these experts in-house. So we only hire them as and when we need them. And what we do pay them is an honorarium in accordance with Treasury guidelines, which is a minimal. Most of them work because they want to work, not because we're paying them that minimal pittance that we pay them. Because these are individuals who, in their private consultancy, they earn much, much more than what we give them as an honorarium, which is in line with Treasury guidelines. So that's a casual employees. On the other income, we have the Treasury, the income we get from the National Department of Public Works as part of our annual grant. And the other income, ladies and gentlemen, is the income that we charge our certificate holders for the assessment work that we do. When somebody brings a product to us, we do charge them a small fee, and that is what makes that other income. The indirect costs and the direct costs, as was mentioned by my finance colleague, they are the same, but these are estimates going forward. And ladies and gentlemen, CSR provides the shared services costs. You all understand what shared services costs, which means things like HR, finance, legal services, cleaning services, office space accommodation, maintenance, telephone, insurance, HR, you know, all those things are covered under shared services. But they're divided into two. There's one that is called the unit, which is based within the unit, like my finance manager sits within the CSR built environment unit, and there are others which are based within the CSR, which is at another level. So there are two levels. That's why they're estimates. An estimate is an approximation of future expenses. So there are two levels. One is within the unit, one is within the broader CSR. Those within the unit are legal services, communications, finance, HR, and office accommodation. Those are shared within the unit. But the others are shared CSR-wide. For those of you who may not be aware, the CSR has over 60 buildings within the CSR campus, and the shared costs are shared within the 60 buildings, which are made out of various other diverse units. So I hope I've explained that cost, the indirect cost unit and indirect cost recovery. The current board, as was mentioned by chairperson, has three women. We hope, and this was actually mentioned by the department when they came to see us last week. They say that they will make sure that when they submit to cabinet, that the board will be representative and transformed in terms of gender and all other factors. So yes, that factor is going to be taken into consideration. The board advert was advertised in February. The adverts closed as required by Treasury regulations 2 months later or thereabouts, and the adverts closed in May or thereabouts. The department set up a ministerial subcommittee to look at the board appointment, and they're working on it, and hopefully the new board will be made soon. Can board members serve a second term? Yes, indeed. The board members can serve a second term, but unfortunately that's the limit of the term. They can only serve two consecutive terms. Ladies and gentlemen, this question was asked by three members of the Honorable August House. And what is our role in demystifying construction? And Honorable Chair, if you allow me, I want to explain what I mean by this particular slide, because I
laid a great emphasis on this slide, and I'm happy that all of you picked on it, and I'm so happy about this. This is great. What is AGMA's role in demystifying construction? Our role is to fall in this slide here. We do the testing. We don't do the research, we do the testing to ensure that the product is fit for purpose. Once it's fit for purpose, then it goes on to the Bureau of Standards, they can develop standards, and it can be used as a standardized product. This is the crux of my presentation. I also presented the role of various other government agencies. So our role is part of this cooperative governance. Everything gets its power from the Constitution. You have the Building Standards Act, you have the National Building Regulations, you have AGRIMA there. So we all play part of this. And we have the building local authorities who enforce building regulations. So we play a role. We don't build the houses, but we can play a role in helping demystify construction. And I'll give two examples of products which provide labor, which create jobs, and can demystify construction. One of them is a building product which all of you are aware of, the earth, Mother Earth. The building soil is a durable building material which has been used for hundreds and hundreds of years. The hyper-compressed earth block is a product which can be used to demystify construction. If you make it simple, we'll simplify construction to make it simple, to make it possible for ordinary people who have no building skills to build houses, to build their own houses. The hyper-compressed earth block, as we presented previously to this August House, is a block, is an engineered block, similar to a clay brick. A clay brick is simply an engineered earth block. But if you make a machine available to the common man, to the common woman, to the common youth, they will be able to build their own houses instead of going to burn our own infrastructure. They'll have a sense of ownership. The Department of Public Works carried out a pilot project in Gombani in the northern province, Limpopo province, a couple of years ago. What they did was under the auspices of the Expanded Public Works Program. They identified, with the help of the IDT, one of the poorest nodes within the country, where there was the greatest need. And they went to this rural population, where individuals didn't have their own houses. And all they did is they planted this machine, an earth-compressing machine, that takes the soil from the ground, adds 7% cement, and people were able to make blocks which meet the requirements of the National Building Regulations. And people were able to build houses with the support of one technical person, and within a short period of time, the area was totally transformed. Using the funding from the EPWP, the Expanded Public Works Program, people were able to build their own houses. That is what I mean by demystifying construction. If you take construction from the entrepreneurship, from the tendering process, and change it out and build houses using communities, get the communities involved in the design and in the idea of what is going to be constructed. Don't build them clinics hoping that they want clinics. Ask them what they want before you build what they want. And get them involved in the decision-making. They'll have a sense of ownership. They'll not come and burn your libraries. They will have a sense of ownership on what is built. That is what I mean. That's the power of AGMA. That's the power of innovative construction technologies. You're making construction simplifying and demystifying it and making it possible for people to build their own houses, ladies and gentlemen. A second example is an ultra-thin concrete paving system which is used for building roads. Most roads in our communities, ladies and gentlemen, are built using asphalt. But using this hyper-compressed earth construction building system, it's possible to make paving bricks, which are suitable for road construction, ladies and gentlemen. You can also use simple concrete paving blocks, which are made locally using local labor. So it provides labor, provides infrastructure. So I've given two examples of products which can demystify, provide jobs, create community cohesion, because that is where we're getting it wrong. Communities are burning structures because they have no sense of ownership. But if we have them to have a sense of ownership, ladies and gentlemen, they will not burn this infrastructure. If it belongs to you, you will not burn your own BMW, will you, ladies and gentlemen? You will not. If you have a sense of ownership, you will defend it with your last bit of energy, ladies and gentlemen. In the CSR, we're involved in the rollout of the computers in rural areas. The first ones we went, we planted the computers there, came back 3 months later, they were all stolen. So we changed the philosophy, we went and provided community support, made the community aware that this belongs to you. 10 years down the line, those computers are getting up to 98% usage. Not even one of them is stolen. Not even one of them has a downtime because the community was involved in the decision making of the product that that provided the infrastructure. So that is our role in demystifying construction, ladies and gentlemen. I say is the crux of my presentation. And I say that a government that works well does more than deliver houses. It makes it possible for communities, including women and the youth, to build their own houses by demystifying construction. And I link this to what our Honorable Minister of Finance said. We have to move away from just extracting things from the earth and taking it to the first world and then bring it back as finished product. We need to have beneficiation of our mineral produce. Some of us work with an organization called SASO, which produces virtually every single chemical in this world. And we can use a lot of those chemicals to use to construct houses, which meet the needs of our people, ladies and gentlemen. And therefore, we can be used as an agency that uses the beneficiation process before we come to the industrialization process to be able to meet the developmental needs of our country, ladies and gentlemen. On the slide regarding to AFTAO, this is by the Honorable Member, regarding our relationship within the provincial departments of public works. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a strong relationship with the National Department of Public Works. As I mentioned earlier in my first, when I started on slide 8, we have a relationship with the government in that we sit within MINMEC. MINMEC is the minister and the provincial MECs for Department of Public Works and Roads and Transport. And therefore, we interact with the HODs at that particular policy level level. We also sit in a lot of task teams, so we interact with the provincial departments on a regular basis, and whenever they face challenges with innovative construction technology, they pick up the phone and they call us, and we respond to their needs. Therefore, we relate to them at that level, at strategic level. We relate to them at operational level, and we also relate to them on a day-to-day basis. How do we relate to individuals? We do not fund individuals. Unfortunately, our funding is about 10 million, and if we were to start funding individuals, we would be left with nothing to do our work. So other government agencies, as I mentioned, we're part of cooperative governance, and the other agencies which do that particular aspect of funding, and therefore we direct them to those particular agencies that can fund small businesses. We believe that small businesses are the drivers of any economy, especially ours, which is in a developmental state. And do we provide people with technical skills in-house? Yes, but we also make, as I mentioned earlier, we do outreach programs to universities and other institutions of learning. We also interact with a lot of government approval agencies. As I mentioned, the SABS, the South African Bureau of Standards, the National Regulator for Compulsory Specification, the National Home Builders Registration Council are all represented on our board. And we also serve on their boards. So there's a cross-pollination. They sit on our technical committee, and we sit on their industry advisory board and other sectors of advisement. So I've already provided a cheap, easy-to-use product which is accessible to the poor. Hyper-compressed earth block for road paving, for housing construction, and hyper-compressed concrete blocks for road paving. They're accessible to the poor. If you come up with an industrial development policy that makes that this is a mainstream way of good, we're going to build houses, we will be able to meet these triple challenges of government. I take the point about the 11 million jobs created and note that this was taken verbatim from the ADP Vision 2030, but I take the point that it can mislead, and I note that for future use. Collaboration within former SADC countries, any formalized collaboration. This is a matter that has been raised at the World Federation level, as well as within SADC countries. I'm pleased to announce that SADC countries know about AGRIMA and refer any innovative products that they face to us to assist in assessments. We often get calls from high up, even from ministers in other countries, where the people picks a call and calls us and tells us, do you know this product? And they say, no, we don't know it. And the guy is told to take a hike. So we support them, we work with them, we sit in various regional technical bodies, various regional advisory bodies, and several other sectors, where we do play our role in supporting these innovative technologies. And the question by Honorable Masango regarding targets based on historical performance. Yes, our targets are based on historical performance. It doesn't just thumbsack them. And the targets for complaints, we take the note and we will take that into consideration. But the complaints are measured for every client who comes to us. We do, what do they call it, a survey, where there is an independent body that carries out, contacts a person and asks them a set of questions. Are you happy? Did Joe abuse you? Did he treat you well, etc.? So that performance review is done by an independent agency, and then they give us the results based on was the customer satisfied or dissatisfied. And despite the fact that we rub a lot of customers the wrong way, in the end of the day, a lot of them are satisfied because they understand the value of our service. We are there to test the product. If the product fails, it fails. It doesn't pass. We test it in accordance with scientifically, globally accepted test methods. Therefore, one cannot blame us if the product fails the test. It's a product that has failed, not Joe. It's not me. The Department of Human Settlements, buy-in collaboration. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have an INDABA later this month in September where we will play a role with the National Department of Human Settlements. As I mentioned earlier, our collaborative efforts within the Department, National Home Builders Registration Council, we sit on a number of their boards there. They call them councils. We also work together with the National Department of Human Settlements, where we sat on their Alternative Construction Technologies Task Team. So yes, there's a lot of collaboration. And ladies and gentlemen, it's just a matter of time before you see alternative construction technologies or innovative in construction technologies or improved and modern ways of construction being the predominant mode of construction. We're just slightly behind on the developmental curve, but it's coming, ladies and gentlemen. So you either jump on board and be part of the action or watch the action from the side or sit on the side and wonder what happened. So I encourage you to be part of the 1% or the 5% that make things happen and not wonder what happened after the action. Ladies and gentlemen, in terms of national building regulations, I've illustrated how we support the national building regulations. And the cost of products, the hyper-compressed hard brick cost almost zero because all the labor is left there. All the money for the project is left there. It's unlike you build a building using a coral brick. The money goes to builder's warehouse or to cost cash bills or to somebody else. But the project in Gombani, ladies and gentlemen, we are able to transform a community comprehensively. When we finish that project, that area was transformed once and for all from being a totally underdeveloped, rural, far-forgotten area. The area was totally transformed. If you met the lady whom we first met the first time, and a year later she had actually addressed the UN in New York on the benefits of this community-based development project, ladies and gentlemen, you'll be happy that this is the way of doing things. The cost of the development was almost zero because all the money was left there. Unlike paying the money to builder's warehouse and to the transporter, nothing. Everything was left there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a way of doing it in the future. The cost is there. These products are cost effective. I took the quote of the 11 million, I've noted that, and I've given the two examples. And we help communities to build their own houses. Yes, the houses done by government, we encourage government to take note of this option to help communities build houses rather than give it to a tenderer who parachutes in from Gauteng or from Western Cape, builds in the rural community and parachutes out. We want the project to be left there, all the money to be left there, everything to be left in the community, not a bourgeoisie coming in, parachuting in, builds a project and parachutes out. We want the community to do the project for themselves, using their own materials, using their own products to create communities for themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where I end my presentation. Thank you.
So you become very passionate, you see, with reason. But you are not making a presentation, you are responding to questions posed. You made the presentation earlier on. Shall we have a 10-minute break for tea? And then round up the meeting thereafter. Thank you very much. Hopefully the water is still hot there. I'd like to pose, nor would they have the requisite time to share all the information with us which they would like to share. But as far as possible, we'd like this to be an ongoing relationship where we interact with the entities that fall under the remit of the Department of Public Works as part of our oversight. So when we see you in the news for good reasons, we'll congratulate you. If we see you in the news for bad reasons, we'll ask you to explain. So we'll have this positive, constructive relationship going forward. Members have posed a number of pertinent questions. There's also the issue of legislation that we need to look at. Is there any piece of legislation that will affect AGRIMA coming up? Legislation is the remit and responsibility of members of parliament. There's also a reorganization of certain functions in government. As you have mentioned, you have a very close nexus with the Department of Science and Technology and equally with the Department of Public Enterprises. So obviously there are a number of pieces of legislation that govern your functions. So also as we move forward, it's the responsibility of members of parliament to look at legislation, how it affects entities that report to parliament. At times we find that 10 years ago we passed legislation, but in practice there are unintended consequences. And then you need to relook at certain aspects of the legislation thus passed in order to improve practice and where laws, regulations have become hindrances to progress, then it's also our responsibility as members of parliament to revisit those aspects. So it's also important for entities like AGRIMA, when you report, also to have a look at the legislation that governs what you do. Is the legislation still fit for purpose? Are there aspects that you see that since 1969 up to today where there might be a need for improvement in regard to the legislation? So all those issues make it possible for us to have this interactive relationship where members of parliament also have this role of reviewing legislation, as I said. Good members, are there any other questions, comments you'd like to pose? And thereafter, for the presenters, if there are any other aspects that they in turn would like to share with us before we conclude our meeting for today. Honorable members, your opportunity. Ningateta, ningakuluma, ele kan prat, kan frafra, ele se fras free. Ja. Die Irel Agbar Adams.
Honorable Chair, one of the members posed a question on the name agreement. I don't think it was answered, otherwise I didn't hear it. The other thing is, this entity makes use of a lot of assessors. Is there a plan for human development, training assessors? I know they have relationship with universities, but I'd like numbers. You are a small entity, but I'd like numbers in recent years. And what's the last thing I wanted to ask? Consultants. You know, every entity that comes here, we ask how many consultants have you got? Have they as entity consultants? And what are they doing to minimize the use of consultants? And the last question, Jefferson, you talked about the asset register. Are we supposed to know something about the asset register? Can they talk about it, or is it between you and them? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. I'm sure they'll explain for themselves, but if memory serves me well, the word agrément derives from French. And then the issue of the asset register, that's a broader question for the Department of Public Works to answer. We can ask them to come and report as to how far they've gone with the reconciliation or establishment of that asset register. What's the progress therein? Any other comment from members? Okay. You may respond, good folks.
Thank you for the question. The issue of consultants, agrément gets funding from government, and the amount of funding that we get is not sufficient enough to hire consultants on a full-time basis. Having said that also, the products that come to agrément for certification do not warranty the employment of consultants, because you get a wide variety of products, therefore you can't employ all the consultants. We are looking at consultants from the roads products, for housing products, the scope is very wide, so it doesn't really warrant the full-time employment of the consultants. Therefore, that is why we always use, we outsource, or we invite consultants as and when we need their services. Thank you.
The question around consultants, the member was asking, because you find certain entities, instead of utilizing full-time employees and having in-house training, they over-depend on the utilization of consultants. So you actually find a person that is supposed to be CEO, but they use consultants to basically do their work. So if and when consultants are utilized on a cost fit to purpose basis, then that's fine. But not where consultants become permanent and the organization depends 99.9% on outside consultants. Those people will ensure that they are forever employed, because it's their profession to be consultants. So the question is asked from that angle. You may continue.
Thanks, Honorable Adams. Yes, I agree. Yes, we do use experts, because the experts are few, and first and foremost, they will not want to come and work in-house with us, but they're happy to share their expertise with us. As I mentioned earlier, we pay them an honorarium in line with Treasury guidelines, which is a pittance compared to the hourly consultancy rates which they normally charge. They charge thousands per hour, which we pay them less than close to 1,000 for a whole day's work, and that includes their research and other work. So we pay them a pittance compared to what they could earn outside in market. But we've done a lot to minimize the use of consultants, ladies and gentlemen. Honorable Chair, I'm pleased to announce that a number of assessments which were done out of house, outside, the ambit of AGRIMA are now done within the ambit of AGRIMA. Structural testing, a major part of our component. We have Dr. Wekesa, who is a qualified structural engineer, whose doctorate was on innovative construction technologies, heads the structural testing division. And that aspect used to be outsourced. We've now insourced that work. Water penetration testing, we've insourced that work. Condensation and thermal assessment, we've insourced that work. So we've insourced a majority of that assessment work. So we're working on skills development, we take in youngsters, and those who are not so young like myself, we provide skills transfer, we empower them, we make them become knowledgeable in undertaking those tests, we give them confidence, we tell them it's not rocket science, it's not difficult. Like the slide I've shown there, it shows you how the Chinese are building a 30-story building in 15 days. This has been done. It's not fiction. It's actually been done. They build buildings using components which are prefabricated, and they're going to go ahead and build a 220-story building, one of the highest buildings in the world, in 90 days. This is not fiction. It's going to happen. It's going to be earthquake resistant, energy efficient, and all those nice things. We're also having, as you're aware, those of you who are in the transport industry, this is not unheard of. Driverless cars, cars that drive themselves. Accidents will be history. Those cars will be fitted with gadgets that avoid accidents. There'll be no more accidents on the roads. This is reality. Driverless cars are already being piloted out on public roads. So this is all related to AGRIMA.
That can be good news for panel beaters.
So all I'm saying is, ladies and gentlemen, forever open roads, roads which it's manufactured in a factory, it's, you come and you place it there, such that roads will be able to be manufactured overnight. This is a future where we are trying to make it possible by doing the assessments to make it possible. The bill is in the hands of the National Department of Public Works, and as was reported by the department when they were here recently, should be presented in Parliament very soon. It's gone through the public participation and should come back to Parliament for the normal parliamentary process. Are there unintended consequences? As the department reported to us last week, there will be a joint transitional committee that will look at all these transition arrangements prior to the organization being formed, which will be formed, made up of the National Department of Public Works for the driver, the DST, the CSIR, AGRIMA, and the board that will look at the transition arrangements. So, I strongly believe that the mandate is still relevant. It's 45 years old, but every year goes by, it's becoming more and more relevant as we move forward, because the trends, things are changing so rapidly. There's transparent concrete that you can see through. Recently heard of a plane where you sit inside the plane and you can see outside. I mean, this is where the future of the world is going. I mentioned about the ultra-thin, the high-resistance concrete, which I mentioned earlier, and the high-strength pavings used for roads. And I believe that our mandate is relevant, is more relevant now than it was in the past, because those of us who are not so young, you can say we were born before technology came. The majority are born in the technology age. So those of us who are not so young, we don't even know how to use a toaster. But those who are born during the learn how to use technology, were the majority. But the youngsters are born with technology. They don't need to learn. They don't need manuals to learn how to use a computer. They don't need manuals to learn how to use a cell phone. I recently had a cell phone and I didn't know how to take a picture. So I asked my daughter, this is a real story. And she did this, that, and took a picture. And I said, what did you do? She said she doesn't know. But she managed to use it. So the BBT, born before technology, those are the majority who can't use a toaster. Born with technology, will learn how to use a toaster. Born with technology, they know how to do it without having to learn how to use it. They don't need manuals. So the world of the future, ladies and gentlemen, is the technology world. So those of us who were born before technology, it's our time to ship out and let those who can come in and born with technology to drive the world to the next level. So yes, I believe our mandate is still relevant and we need to work going forward to develop the country even further. Thank you. Honorable Chair.
Jill, thank you very much. When you kept on saying that those of us who are not so young, I saw Mr. Masangu looking at you. And my sense of hearing is very fine. And you are saying, speak for yourself. good people, I would like to thank you for the time that you have given us. Come and make your presentation. I would also like to thank the members and the support staff for having made this meeting a success. And also for the stakeholders who come from outside to look at how Parliament goes about its work. We thank all of you for the engagement. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Wish you a successful day further. Thank you.